So, the Department of Health and Human Services, I really wish we'd standardize all of this, HHC, HHSC, HCS. They terminated the benefits, said the trust counted as a resource. It wasn't a testamentary trust, and it had support distribution language. The ALJ and the district court affirmed that decision. The mom appealed, and the Nebraska, now we've moved from Iowa to Nebraska, Supreme Court moved to review the case. So the Nebraska Supreme Court, and we want to live in Nebraska, not in Iowa, held the trust is not a resource. The agreement to split the trust didn't make it a self or court-settled trust. The terms, essential terms, are the same. Now we're into modification. And was the trust modified? And if so, was it modified correctly? And they said no, it didn't modify it. They left the terms. They split the amount of the distribution. So, but and although there is support language, the key factor is that Eric could not compel the trustee to make distributions. So what we have here is a court that's saying support on its own does not imply the ability to reach to the assets. I'm going to continue not to use the word support, but if anybody does and has a problem with it, Donna G. in Nebraska is the answer to your problem. Okay, the guardianship of Robbins. We've gone to Indiana. We're just kind of a Midwest coalition this year. So Tim was severely injured when his vehicle was sideswiped by a semi. I kind of like that term, sideswiped by a semi. That sounds bad. He was 42. So after fees and cost, the jury awarded Tim $11.2 million settlement. And the guardian proposed a settlement go into a structure and a SNIT. The guardianship judge, and this is, you know, yet another one of our favorite themes, and I haven't seen this in a long time. Basically, he has a problem with special needs trust. He thinks that they're immoral, illegal, you know, ought to be deported, build a wall against them, whatever it is that you want to do, but we should not have special needs trusts. And that they were a considerable expense to the Medicaid program and the taxpayers. And the main purpose of SNITs was to benefit Tim's descendants, because his father and his brother were involved in the petitions, in the lawsuit, in the petitions to set this up for Tim. Now, and as to be expected, the judge authorized $1 million to go into the SNIT of 11.2, and the remaining amount to be distributed to the guardianship. So, I don't know exactly what the purpose of the $1 million in the SNIT was, but the Court of Appeals, and thank goodness, reversed and said, legislative public policy decision should not be challenged, and the lower court exceeded its authority. And I think that's what this has always been, is that the courts are not a place to challenge legislative public policy. I mean, we have enough trouble with public policy to start with, and you know, we get few enough assets that are actually sent the way of our clients. So if the judge has a problem with this, then the judge needs to go in his own public policy arena under an assumed name. So, and that the Medicaid payback trusts are not intended to benefit the descendants of the beneficiary, that in this case, the trust was for the sole benefit of Tim to be used during Tim's lifetime. So this reminded me, and I also forgot, I wanted to thank Robert Fleming, our special needs colleague, for his use of some of the cases that we're using today, as well as my colleague, Christina Ferguson-Smith. But it reminded me of Robert's argument, which I think is something we all need to consider. Okay, he's got $11.2 million. In this situation, he's actually comatose in a nursing home. Do we need a special needs trust with $11.2 million? Can it be, and those trustees in the room, you financial experts, corporate trustees, can't you take $11.2 million and make it last for, Pete can, make it last for whatever Tim's life expectancy is going to be here? So when we are doing special needs planning, it's not special needs trusts. We're looking at what are the other options. And we have an obligation in this kind of situation, in my opinion, to go to a financial advisor and financial expert, to the proposed corporate trustee even, and say, okay, what's an investment scheme? Scheme's a bad word. What's an investment plan that we could use? So, as opposed to our special needs trust planning schemes, so, or our Medicaid planning schemes, what's an option that we have, you know, to invest these funds? You know, can you make more? You know, is there any real reason to have this trust? Because what do you get when you have a special needs trust? You get into your new friendship with the Social Security Administration, and they have lots of other people who they're friends with already. And, you know, I think most of us, or many of us, and certainly I know Clyde has been making this part of his bandstand, which, and I agree, stay away from agencies whenever you can, because the implementation of rules are different, the paperwork, just the whole, get on the website of SSA and try to report that you're now earning something. Well, you can't do that on the website. You've got to go to the phone number, and then the phone number will tell you to go back to the website. And all you're trying to do is report within 10 days like they told you to.